I just want to exhort us this afternoon on what I titled the mission field. My mindset, my attitude to the mission. My mindset and my attitude to the mission. Genesis 1. Just a very short exhortation. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Look at verse 2. It says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the earth. Hallelujah. Or you say, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over the surface of the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now take note of two things. He said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And I told you that is God's plan. Heaven and earth. Amen. Heaven and earth. Right? So we can say, what is God's project? God's project is heaven and earth. Amen. Amen. Someone asks you, what is God's project in the earth? What is God's project, Rod? I say God's project is heaven and earth in the same place. That's God's task. That is God's project. God's project is heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God's plan is, when you say heaven and earth, he shows you God's plan for the whole earth to be his heaven. Hallelujah. What's God's plan? The whole earth. The whole earth to be his heaven. Heaven and earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at verses 26. He says, and God said, let us make man in our image. Let's make man. Let's make man. Adam. That is humanity. Let's make man in our image. After our likeness, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the surface of the earth. Hallelujah. And God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he male and female created he them. So that means in God's man, you have male and female, right? Look at 28. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful. And multiply and replenish the earth. Can you see that? Mark that word and replenish the earth. That's why you have the word malah. To refill the earth. Showing you that God's plan is in the earth. God's plan is where? What's God's plan? Heaven and earth, right? Where is God's plan? What is God's plan? Heaven and earth. Where is God's plan? In the earth. Amen. Amen. Where is God's plan? In the earth. He says, replenish the earth. He didn't say, man, he didn't say, let's make man an image after he was done creating man, which is humanity. Imagine God had said, that is the thinking of several people. He says, be fruitful, multiply, so that you can come to heaven. Is that it? Is that God's plan? I can come to another planet. No. It says, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. But that's God's plan. God's plan is the earth. Or God's plan is for the earth. Hallelujah. Where is God's plan? In the earth. Hallelujah. God's plan is in the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at what he said. He says, replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every creeping thing. And over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So that means man's authority to is in the earth. Hallelujah. Did you see God's plan? God's plan is for the earth. His plan is to have the heavens in the earth. Hallelujah. Is the heavens in the earth? God wants us to just know. Yeah, people say a lot of things. Some people are projecting I was reading something 2 days ago. I said, is it 2 days ago? Yeah. And I heard that, I don't know how true it is, because I've not fact checked it, but I didn't even have time for that. But it was saying, whether they say it was Elon Musk, I don't know how true it is, like I said, but I've not, because I said I've not fact checked it, that the earth will be, let everybody be prepared to go to heaven because the earth won't last 20 days. What rubbish are you saying? Amen. Amen. God's plan is in the earth. I met someone, I was saying God was going to come and destroy the earth. I said, no. God isn't going to destroy the earth. Yeah, why? Why? We're the one that created it. You're not the one that created it. Hey, my God. You want it? No, God must destroy the earth. I don't understand. The person that created it said, he's not going to destroy the earth. Your own destroyed this earth. We are looking for a new heaven and a new earth. Adi? We are looking for a new heaven. The new heaven you are looking for is here already. So I wonder what the heaven you are looking for. The new heaven and the new earth is already in existence. That's been in existence for over 2,000 years. But it's just that your own version of new heaven is, this earth must be destroyed. Before I started saying that thing, I said it. Some of you, some people were not even born when I began to say things like that, 2005, 2006. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. A child who was born 2005 will be 20, we're going to 21 years this year. Abby? Amen. The person is no longer a teenager. So, what is your problem? The earth must be destroyed. Oh yeah, we should give you, is it nuclear ammunition? Someone say, when Iraq just released one nuclear weapon like this, the whole earth will just scatter. Cut your head. Just one nuclear weapon, the whole body will just die. How? Who taught you that? That was... No way to God. Allah will put you under unnecessary pressure. See, some aliens are invading, are going to invade the earth. I've been hearing that thing since the 1990s. That some alien, if I want to say, they did a mathematical calculation. It will take about 15 years. I've spent more than 15 years and I didn't see anything. Yeah, when those things happen like this, well, if we hit the summit of the earth will just shift course and everything will die. It has not happened to today. They say, okay, the earth will now send the rocket. It will now, come on. Say, he will destroy the earth with brimstone and fire. God said, I would not send flood to destroy the earth anymore. Amen. So, when you begin to ask those things, maybe when you hear people say some things, you just pause for a while. And then, are you reading your Bible halfway? Glory to God. Because God's plan from Genesis is where? The earth. The earth. Look at Numbers 14. Everybody, Numbers 14. So be careful. Some people are so tired of the earth. They told us there will be their version of rapture in 2025 three times. And we slept and woke up. Gone are those days when those things used to hold me to heart. And say, God, it's going to be tonight. I've had my own fair share of those heartbreaks. Amen. Numbers 14, sorry. Numbers 14, 21. Are you there? Look at 21. It says, as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Did you see that? Where? Yes. Where? All the earth. All the earth. Can you see God's plan? Where's God's plan? All the earth. All the earth. All the earth. So God's plan is the earth. God's work is not on the space. God's work is in the earth. Someone said, God is building a mansion for me in heaven. With what? With cement. Say, the way you live your life will tell how your mansion will be. All those crooked stories. To the way. Amen. God's plan is in the earth. It's for the earth. Amen. Amen. I say, how will my mansion be? Which mansion? Someone say, I want to have it. I want to have it. 20 bedroom flat. You are an octopus. How will you live in 20 bedroom flat? You want to be renting house in heaven? You are an octopus. How will you live there? Amen? Can you see yourself? Someone says it's better to be a shoemaker in heaven than to be a big man in hell. Are you okay? Amen. You are crazy for thinking that way. Amen. Glory to God. God's plan is in the earth. Hope you are following me. He's in this earth. Amen. Some people are so fantasized and they're just doing all this, forgetting that God's plan is in the earth. Say, why don't you just go? We'll leave this earth and go on and destroy it.
Heaven is an air-conditioner home where Jesus Christ is preparing for us.
I don't understand. Preparing. Where's God's plan, Abeg? Heaven or earth? Where's God's plan? Is it heaven or earth? Thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God's plan is in the earth. So when the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, quickly, let's look at Matthew 5. That is where a lot of people keep having issues. Matthew 5 and some verses around Revelation. But I'll just stay in Matthew 5 today. We plan to go further on some studies this year. Just around some studies. Matthew 5. Are you there? Look at verse 17. Say, do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophet. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Law and prophet is what? Law and prophet is what? The words of the prophet. Genesis unto Malachi, right? So Jesus has already told you with his mouth that he has not come to abolish Old Testament books. Chicken, huh? Abi? Did you see it? Aha. Now look at verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall nowise pass from the law till be fulfilled. He said, till heaven and earth pass. When someone said, this heaven and this earth will be destroyed. What is your problem? He said, till heaven and earth pass. Amen. So what does he refer to as heaven and earth there? I've taught you in church, and I said, when he said heaven and earth there, it was referring to the temple. Temple is called heaven and earth. So he's saying, before the destruction of the temple, I would have fulfilled the words of the prophet. Amen. And the destruction of the temple took place in 70 AD. And that's what Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24 that people have used for rapture. Don't worry, we'll look at Matthew 24 this year. Amen. That people have turned to rapture text. Matthew 24. He said, make sure your flight is not on Saturday. So people who are traveling today, go be, Abi. That's how people have read it. That your flight be not on the Sabbath. And you were not thinking straight that the people Jesus was referring to don't know anything called aeroplane. So imagine Jesus, the man of Jesus says, sir, you say we shouldn't take flight. You say, what is that? I didn't say that. Amen. Because in his world there was no flight. In fact, if you had told Peter, Jesus said she shouldn't enter aeroplane. Peter will ask you, what is aeroplane? his aeroplane, because that technology was not available. Amen? So what was the definition of flight? He's telling them, make sure your japa. He said, if you want to run that period, make sure it's not on Sabbath, because they are restricted on Sabbath, they not to move. Did you see that? No way to God. Well, that's not what we're looking at. But you need to see that God's plan is the earth. God's plan is here on the earth. The earth is God's mission field. We'll explore this as we get into our teaching this month. Amen. You and I with the Lord in his mission field. Amen. The right hand of God. We'll explore that this year, this month. Amen. So the earth is God's mission field. The earth is where God is carrying out his work. God isn't carrying out his work in some other planet or some other place. He's carrying out his work in the earth. What are you having me? God is carrying out his work in the earth. And when you talk about the earth, if you deal with man, so God is carrying out his work in the earth, in man. Glory to God. Look at Jesus. Jesus didn't send his disciples to another planet. He sent them to men. Hallelujah. To men. In Matthew 9. In Matthew 9, 36. Away. He said, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered as sheep having no shepherd. He now said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Right? So the harvest, is that the mission field? Is that the mission field? He will send laborers into the mission field. So in chapter 10, verse 5, it said, Jesus sent forth and commanded, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but rather go to the lordship of the house of Israel. So, he sent his disciples to men. Did you see that? Amen? So that means the harvest is the mission field, and it's men. Matthew 28, Jesus will say, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore and make disciples of every nation. Nation. Of every nation. And when you talk about nation, there's where you have the Greek word ethnos. Ethnos is used for nations, Jews and Gentiles, everywhere. Amen. Both Jews and Gentiles. Ethnos. Hallelujah. He said, send them to Galilee, the nations. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Galilee is called ethnos, used for both the Jews and the Gentiles. The Galilee of the nations. Hallelujah. So Jesus sent his disciples into the nations. Nations of what? Men. Right? Mark 16. Mark 16:15. He said, go therefore and make and preach the gospel to every creature. Hallelujah. Go into the world. Mark that, the world. And preach the gospel to every creature. So he's opening that word world to every creature. He now says, He is man. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So that means God's mission field is the earth towards man. It's towards men. God's mission field is in the earth, and it's towards men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke 24, from verse 46. Luke 24, 46. It says, thus it is written, and thus it behoves Christ to suffer, and to rise on the third day. Rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name. Right? Be preached in his name. Amongst the nations. My God, nations, there is the nations of men. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 8. He said to them, his disciples, he said to them, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So you shall be witnesses. You see God starts unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. Hallelujah. Uttermost part of the earth. To the ends of the earth. Glory to God. To the ends of the earth. I was trying to talk to someone yesterday who was saying something about that Christianity is a white man religion. That our own religion is to serve Shango. I said, you are mistaken. He said, Christianity came to Nigeria in 1900. I said, you are mistaken. Amen. And that's the problem. Because a lot of people don't know history. The only history they know is what they say, yes, say. Amen. Amen. Ends of the earth. I was going to tell the person, the ends of the earth, they include Africa. Amen. And I asked the person three questions. I said, Africa came from where? He said, Kush. I said, thank you. Who is Kush's father? He told me. I said, who is the grandfather? He said, Noah. Who is Noah? A prophet of God. I said, thank you. He said, who is the queen of Sheba? From where? Africa. Ethiopian Enoch, have you ever asked yourself the question, how did Ethiopian Enoch had the book of Isaiah? So that means it was already in Africa. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And I told myself, you think it, neither is Christianity Israel, is Israel religion. It's not true. And have you heard of the man called Melchizedek? Melchizedek was not even a Jew. Amen. Was not a Jew, but he served God. Hallelujah. Abraham was not a Jew when God called him. Adam was not a Jew. Noah is not Jew. Amen. Glory to God. And Israel. So be coming now when you are doing your argument. So that Christianity is one, not a Jew religion. Have you? Christianity is two, not a white man's religion. Oh yeah, was that? Oh, I said, yeah. Now what came in 1900 was, I will say the other part, I will say the first part. The first part is, what came in 1900 was the Church of England to Africa. Or the Church of England. What is the Church of England? What we call Anglican Church. I was okay. So they came in with missionaries. But before then, was the gospel in Africa? Yes. So why was it? Why were your forefathers? I don't want to say my forefathers. Why were your forefathers serving idols? Because they were rebelling against the gospel of Jesus. They were the gospel. What did Ethiopian Enoch come back with to Africa? The gospel. Amen. Amen. One of Jesus' disciples was called Simon the Niger. Right? Acts of Apostles chapter 13. Niger, there is the word Niger, looks is used for a black person. Amen. For a black person. So before you get into all those yama yama arguments, right? Just calm down. Was just what came in the 1900s with slave trade was the Church of England. Amen. Up of Jesus. Up of Jesus. Don't get confused on that. So let's move ahead. So you see, God starts in the earth is with man. So let's get back at some things before we go ahead, so that we want to know that we're all on the same page. God's mission field is where? Yes. God's mission field is where? God's plan is where? God's plan is where? It's towards me. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at, so it's about man. It's about man. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 3, you'll see referring to God. He said, "Who will have all men to be saved?" Have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, what's God's plan? Heaven and the earth, all men. Can you see it? All men. So God's plan is all men, the earth. So can we say God's mission field is man? Can we say that? God's mission field is man. I would like to say that. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. This is Paul to the church at Corinth. Verse 9. It says, "We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." He said, "Ye are God's husbandry." Hallelujah. Now the word there, where it says you are God's husbandry, that word husbandry is where you have in the Greek geogion or geogion. Geogion. Now that word is used for an harvestable farmland. For an harvestable farmland. So it says you are God's farmland. That's what it's saying. You are God's farmland. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say I'm God's mission field. Say man is God's mission field. Hallelujah. Hope you are with me. So man is God's mission field. The earth is God's mission field. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. So it's very vital. So how will God reach men? He will use angels? No. One more thing before we go ahead. Look at Genesis 28. Verse 12. We'll go ahead. Genesis 28. Look at verse 12. It says, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the, where was the ladder set up on? And the top reached where? What do we now see going up and down the ladder? The angels of God moving up and down the ladder, and the Lord stood above it." So, where was the ladder set up on? The earth. So, God's plan is where? The earth. Amen. Amen. Hope you are following me. God's plan is the earth. Is the earth. Glory to God. Glory to God. Is the earth? And how will God reach men in the earth? Through angels? Through who? Man. So God will use man to reach man. God will use man to reach men. So God will use man to reach men. Say. Yeah. So God's method of reaching man is man, or man is man, right from the Genesis. He spoke to, in Genesis 1, the man in his image, he asked him to replenish the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is always sending men to his harvest, to his mission field. God is always going to use men. Amen. God is always going to use men. So the question you ask is, are you the man or are you a man God uses? Are you a man that God uses? Are you God's vessel to reach in men? Are you? Have you made yourself available for God to use? Because God is always going to use men. Look at what we read in Matthew 9. Jesus said, the harvest is truly plenteous. So that means there's always going to be men to reach, right? But the laborers are few. So pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers to his harvest. So God is always sending laborers to his harvest. Hallelujah. Now what did Jesus then do? He now sent his disciples to make it see that God is always sending people to the harvest. Hallelujah. How ready are you for the harvest? How ready are you for God to send? You know what I mean? Hallelujah. God is always sending people. We're going to deal with that later on in the day. In our next session, you will see that. Amen. God is always sending people. Some people have now become disobedient to God. To God. And God is always, you know, there was a time like that. When Jesus was on his way, when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, the Bible says that, you know, they were dropping their clothes on the floor. Hosanna is the highest. And some other people were trying to stop them. What did Jesus say? He said, if these ones will not praise me, I will raise up stones in their stead. Hallelujah. God is always raising up people for his work. So the question we'll ask is, how ready are you? Hallelujah. How ready are you? Paul will say to Timothy, in a great man's house, say there are vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor. Amen. So what kind of vessel are you? What kind of vessel are you? Are you that kind of man that God can count on? I say I can count on Brother Emmanuel. Can God count on you to get the job done? Are you available for God? There's some people saying, Satan, the number you are calling is not available. They are unavailable also to God. There are people who have become unavailable to God. We are, like I said, I will deal with that in the next session. Amen. They become unavailable. God calls you, the number you are calling is not available. God calls you, the number you are calling is switched off. No one is like, I'm not even hearing the leading at all. The leading is not even leading. It's not even, you are not even seeing it. Amen. Amen. You have, how do they call it? Otimba penalty lottery. Have you? Ah. You are shooting the ball to throw it. You are post. Amen. No one is switched off. The network, the number you are calling, is currently not available. Why is it not available? He's supporting my you. He's not available. Why is it? He's watching Asana. The network is, the line is on flight mode. When last did you fast? When last did you pray? Unavailable. God is calling you. God is reaching out. Unavailable. He's entering voicemail. Isn't it voicemail? Dixie not going, huh? It's currently not available. Can you drop your voicemail? Can you drop a message? When I come out, I'll respond. You have backslided, though. Amen? Amen? What vessel are you? Are you available? Are you available? Or you are walking alone? I'm just alone. Alone. Imagine a believer. I think I saw when somebody was correcting somebody that no, don't say you are not alone. I mean, don't say, how did the person put it? Don't say you are not alone. Say you are, I was just smiling. I said, every man is nomenclature. Alone is alone. Lonely alone. Amen. Leave that nomenclature. Amen. The same. Glory to God. A believer. May God never call me and I will not be available. Pray. Say, Lord, 2026, I'll be available for you. Just pray. Nothing takes my time. Say, Lord, I'll be available. Pray that prayer. Say, Lord, this year, I'll be available to you. I'll be available for your work. I'll be available. Time will not be the problem. Say, Lord, influence will not be the problem. Time will not be the problem. Work will not be the problem. I will be available. I will make out time to serve you. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Never stay unavailable. Hey, Jesus. You just put your phone on flight mode. Believer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory. So we say we are God's mission, and using men, he will always call men to his labor, to his mission field, so that you won't be thinking that is a two-way thing. There are some people who think because they enter work or ministry, they are the only ones that God is entitled to use. No, don't be that way. God is always calling people to the work. Hallelujah. God is always calling people to the work. God is always using men. So you don't write off men. Hallelujah. What are you hearing me? Don't be like Elijah. I said, Lord, I'm the only one that have not bowed to Baal. How? Because they have reserved how many? 5,000 prophets who have not bowed to Baal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've reserved them. So don't think you are the only one. Amen. Amen. So that means God is always sending people to the harvest. So we send the men. Glory to God. I think I didn't write this scripture here. Look at Matthew. Let's read something here. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man, Matthew 20, is like unto an householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers to his vineyard. Do you see that? That's what the kingdom of God is. Amen? And when he had agreed with laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard and went out about the third hour. He saw standing idle in the market place. What did he do? He said to them, go ye into the vineyard. So what is he doing? He's sending people into the vineyard. So God is always sending people to the vineyard. Hope you hear me. What's God always doing? Sending people to his labor. To his vineyard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means we'll keep having fresh workers. Right? New workers even in church. It's something that will keep happening. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God will keep having people in church. Look at something. We'll get to see this in the second section, but look at verses 11. Now, if we read verses 9, or from verses 18 to 9, he keep calling people into the vineyard up until the 11th hour. Then, when he was done, when the day was over, he now gave the person that came the first hour a penny. He gave the person that came the 11th hour a penny, the same amount. Amen. Look at verses 11. And when they that received it, right? Or verses 10. But when the first came, they supposed that he should have received more, which is the one that came the first hour, and likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. They began to murmur. That is entitlement culture. We're going to deal with it. Amen. When people have entitlement culture, don't be like that. Amen. Hope you're hearing me. Don't be like that. We're going to deal with it in the next session. But something to see here, and I need you to focus on for now, is on the fact that the guys that came in first hour were envious of the people that came in 11th hour. And that is wrong. Hope you're hearing me. Sometimes you will have new people in the workforce, in church, that you will discover that God is even using more. Amen. New people. And you, pastor, you are not feeling threatened. How? You are their pastor. Amen. Amen. And people can have the move of God in very specific ways in their life. And you are, God has kept you there to pastor them. Hope you're hearing me. God has kept you there to also oversee them, to direct them, to lead them. And they are having special, God is using them in special ways. Glory to God. Now, it shouldn't make you start having entitlement culture or start having envy and jealousy. Hope you're hearing me. Hope you are with me. Hope you are with me. They are having entitlement culture. Why is it not me? Why is it not me? Start feeling jealous, envy. Glory to God. We have such an example in scripture. In 1 Kings. So you now begin to despise the ones that God is using you. New workers now began to despise them. No, don't do that. Amen. Hope you're hearing me. Now begin to despise them. Look at 1 Kings chapter 13. It's a long reading. 1 Kings 13. Are you there? It says, and behold, verse 1, like I said, it's a long reading. There came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places, and burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. Now let me give us a background so that I will actually reduce the time we spend to read from verse 1 to 34. There was a young prophet and an older prophet. A younger prophet and an older prophet. So the younger prophet was given a word from the Lord. Right? Hallelujah. But God gave him an instruction. Look at verses 9. And it was, and so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way which thou camest. This is that. So God gave him a strong instruction. But in verse 11, there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and the sons came and told him all the works of the man of God. I mean, all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, and the word of the and the word which he had spoken unto the king. Then they told also to their father. So that means this was an old prophet that is feeling entitled that God didn't use him. God used another prophet from somewhere else. Right? Hallelujah. And their father said unto them, what way went he? And the sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And they said unto, and he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak tree. And he said to him, art thou the man of God which came from Judah? And he said, I am. Now listen to this. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. Remember, the man of God, this younger pastor, was given an instruction. Then he said to him, come with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. For it is said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way which thou camest. And he said to him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. Amen. And the angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat and drink water. For he lied to him. Say, I'm a prophet. Have you not been seeing me on Facebook? Have you seen on TikTok? Yes. See, the Lord spoke to me. That's why I came to meet you. The Lord just told me now that you should follow me to eat. That I should nourish you for the work of ministry. And he lied. And this young minister went with him and ate. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at verse 23. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and had drank, and saddled him for an ass to wheat, for the prophet whom he had brought back. Then, when he had, let's get back. Let me show you something. Verses 20. And it came to pass that they sat at the table, and the word of the Lord came to the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto him, and he cried unto the man of God which came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord hath commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in this place, of which the Lord said to thee, eat no bread nor drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. The same prophet that brought him back now spoke by God's Spirit. Can you see? Amen. And that was what happened to him in verses 24. He was devoured by a lion. He died. Hallelujah. So, and that becomes important for us today. Don't despise younger workers in church. Don't. Don't try to make them feel, we have been here since 19 Kokoro. Do you know, Susanna, I've been working with pastor. I've been working with pastor for 20 years, for 30 years. Shut up. Don't despise. Hallelujah. That is envy. Envy. Jealousy. Amen. Amen. God can choose to use anyone. God can choose to use anyone. He can use small Emmanuel. Amen. He can use big Emmanuel. He can use Emmanuel. You cannot choose for God who to use. You can choose for God who to use. that. So that means you watch your actions. Now, not just towards younger ones, but towards every believer. Watch your actions. That your actions doesn't bring discouragement or disobedience to the life of other believers in the mission field. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Matthew 18, this is what Jesus said. Matthew 18. Verses 6. Matthew 18, 6. He said, "For whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it was better for him that a millstone was hung about his neck and that he was drowned into a deep sea." Amen. Did you see that? Hallelujah. He used the word "shall offend." That word "offend" there is what you have in the Greek. Scandalizo. Scandalizo. It means to entice to sin. To entice to apostasy. Apostasy means to abandoning the faith. Your actions is making somebody abandon the faith. Your actions or inactions. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know there are some people who will abandon faith because of their own stupidity. And they want to blame it on someone. That is not what I'm talking about. If I'm talking about your actions of despising. Amen. Your actions of despising. Making others to sin. Hope you're following me. But in that story of the young prophet and the old prophet, there's a flip side to it. And that's the flip side we're getting to. What's the flip side? The younger minister was carried away in the mission work, in God's mission field, in the work of ministry. Don't be carried away. He did not obey God. He did not obey God. Question is, are you obeying God? He did not. The other minister is not part of his church. The other minister is not his pastor. The other minister is not his pastor. It's not, they are not from the same local church. But he was listening to him. So that means the other minister can be online preachers. You let the instructions of God given to you in your local church to be listening to someone else who has his own church. Amen. Amen. Is it not God's work? Is the same God's work? No, you are missing it. God can be leading our church in this direction in terms of achieving his goals, right? Achieving his will in the earth, and he's leading another church in another direction. So the moment you leave how God is leading you with your local church, you are disobeying God. You are doing what? Disobeying God. The younger minister disobeyed God. He disobeyed God. He rather followed the easier route. Maybe at that point he was already hungry. Maybe every stone he saw was looking like bread. Every stone was looking like bread. You are fasting. For example. And every time you are going close to the fridge to go and do what? To cool down the fast. You go to the fridge, open it, close it. Amen. You know, when you are fasting 6 to 6, you know, when it's 9:10, we can't do 6 to 6. When you know you are really fasting, is when you cross 12 and you're entering 1. Amen. That's when you begin to visit the fridge.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You're looking at the time and looking at the fridge, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And of course, you must have been hungry. So God, what kind of assignment is this? That was when he sat at an oak tree. Meaning, man of God was tired. Amen. Amen. Ah, so God, how and when will you refresh me? And then, there came the word of the Lord from the senior prophet of God. He was just browsing through his phone. Just checking status. And he was just checking status from fellow believers that were not in his church. And he saw a minister preaching. He said, yeah, the Lord said for me to say to you. He said, ah, I receive it. This is God. Amen. At that point, anything is the word of the Lord. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You are fasting, you're always going to shower. What are you doing in the shower every time? Pastor Shegu said they caught someone one time. He was always going to shower. They were fasting, always going to shower. Is this a new revelation? You are fasting, going to shower. Only this one that one was doing in the shower, you go to shower, open mouth. Let's drink your water. Oh, dear. Amen? Want to cool down the fast? You open fridge, look at it. God, fast is fast. So that man of God, the older minister telling him, the Lord just spoke to me. The Lord just spoke to me, and he said you should come and eat. You know, that to eat that was refreshing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I know you will come through. Amen. He just sat down. I was browsing through his phone. And through social media, if you listen to one, they will bring it more. Facebook, just keep seeing it. I don't want to mention the name of anybody. Y'all keep seeing it. If it is, let me mention the one that I know I can mention on my futures. You just, the first day you watch Ndaboski, every time you open your phone, it's Ndaboski. Ndaboski, Yeah, you were just browsing. Just browsing. You know, you were laughing. You say it is what? English, yeah. English, yeah. You are laughing. Just browsing. I began to disobey God. You began to disobey God. Easily enticed. Hallelujah. Easily attached. He's just like David. David was supposed to be in a war front, fighting. Man of God was at home in the afternoon. Where he was supposed to be fighting, was at home. It was because he was not in the mission field that he saw Uzziah's wife. If he was in the battlefield, he wouldn't have seen her, would he? He wouldn't have seen her. When you're supposed to be preaching, going for evangelism, you were scrolling your phone, opening sites, till you began to watch pornographic sites. Then you are supposed to be doing evangelism, oh? Pray. Pray. Say, Lord, I will not trade mission work for anything. Say, Lord, help me. 2026. No. Lord, help me. It has happened before, but it won't happen again. Say, Lord, I won't trade you. I won't trade you for silver or gold. I won't trade you for social media posts. I won't trade you for the presence of man. For the enticing words of man's wisdom, I won't trade you for it. I won't trade your work in 2026 for it. When I'm about to be on the mission field, I'll be there. When I'm about to be on the battleground praying, I will be there. I won't be found at home. I won't be found on an oak tree. I won't be found in my desires. I won't be found in my desires. Pray! If this man of God was not sitting by the oak tree, he would have gotten home. If he was not in a comfort position, he would have gotten to his location before the older prophet got to him. But because he was sitting, he was doing nothing. Say, Lord, may I not be found idle? Pray! May I not be found idle? I will be found at my duty post, raising and training men to the deceased. Say, Jesus, I will be found at my duty post. They will come to my duty post and find me and discover that I'm missing. I will not be missing in service. I will not be missing in service. I will be found right there at my duty post. I will be found right there. No matter what, Lord, I will be found at my duty post. Pray! Say, Lord, I will not trade my duty post for anything. I will trade it for pleasure. I will trade it for social media. I will trade it for anything. I will be found at my duty post. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You cannot and you should not obey men at the expense of God's instruction. That's what the guy did. I will not obey orders at the expense of God's instruction given to me in my local church. Remember, I told us that God leaves us with our local church. I will not trade instructions of my local church with what men are saying. I will not. Now that you don't believe, I will not. Rather, in Jesus' name, be a person of the local church. Be a local church person. Amen. Amen. Be a, you know where this one is? At the head. Be a local church person. Let them say you are carrying church in your head. Be a local church person. Be a local church person. Because in the local church, that's where God is protecting you. Be a local church person. Okay, hear me. So make up your mind to be a local church person. Say, Lord, you know, you can make that decision. I will not be found as a local church. You know, you see people. I don't know. The way you know you can never handle criticism is how you handle praises. You post a picture. For example, you might say, lovely. You are writing, oh, I don't kill you there. But you respond. And then when they write rubbish too, you'll be feeling bad because they praise you, big boy. Ow. Now you're the emoji. You cannot handle it. You cannot handle it. But when pressure comes, you will jatter. You enter depression. Two picture, some kids, oh, you are looking. You know, like, oh, it's baby girl treatment. Baby girl call at age 20, baby girl knee. If that small baby girl there is claiming baby girl, I'd die like you be claiming baby girl. Amen. Even Ayo cannot be claiming baby girl at this age. Or do you want to be claiming baby girl? My conky. Amen. Baby girl, call. know how to deal with all those psyching. Amen. Amen. You don't know how to deal with psyching. They are psyching you. They are angel. Angel. Angel, call. Devil. So the day they call you devil, you'll be vexed. Why would you call me devil? Because you like it when they call you angel.
Amen. Adi. Eh. After what?
Vivigate. That's why all your life is shawarma, you've been eating shawarma and pizza.
You cannot fast. But let's continue. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. When you get to the other part, you know how to handle it. You know how to manage the scale. Adi? Am I communicating? You know what I'm talking about, right? And how will you know? You are looking for any brother. But you understand what I mean. You don't understand what I mean. Wait, the Lord will give you insight. After GPLR. Catch this one first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watch the words you allow over your life. Watch it. Never allow anybody's words. Never allow the words of men make you disobey God in your local church. Never. Never. I remember one brother like that that was in church. I won't call his name. He became very, very active in church. At some point, he handled meeting. But after a while, when he was in church, he used to come and complain how the mom used to disturb him. The mom would be beating him. This was somebody that before he got born again, he used to, if you hear his story, he used to beat his mother. Nobody can talk to him. He was the jagaban of the house. But he now got saved. He now became, you know, where somebody is now born again. We saw him, he started, then, the terror that he now had was his mother. The same woman that was praying, God, change my son. The son was now changed. It was the same woman that was now a terror to him. Amen. The woman would be talking every time church, every time church, every time church, every time church. Any little thing, I'm smart, any little. The guy was telling me. I'll tell him, just don't allow those things to get to you. But those things were getting to you. It was years back. If it was to be today, I'll have advised him better how to start teaching the mom God's word. Do you understand? But I was younger then. I was very young. Yeah. I don't think I was up to 22 then or thereabouts. Maybe a bit above 22. I can't really remember now. So, I just told him to allow those things go. But those words were getting to him. So one day, I was in school, and they told me that this brother, I started doing some funny things. But I left church. Left church totally. Okay, hear me. I left church and was doing funny things. He allowed the words of the mother and the words of people get to him. Hallelujah. And this also happens to some of us sometimes. The people who are supposed to be our backbone at home are the people that are the ones criticizing us in the work of ministry. Any small time, that's your church. Any small time, can't you pray English? These are the people that wanted you to hear the word. Can't you pray another prayer? Amen. And then you say, you are going to church, say, every time church, every time church, every time church, every time Sister Bola, every time. Every time, every time. And you were not allowing that get to you. How? How? Some of us that you see today, it's not like we didn't have such kind of challenges. So I did. This convince you? Yeah, you have such. Don't go there again. Every Saturday, you will say you are going to wear fellowship. But somebody's parent called it fellowship. You are going to fellowship. You are going to wear fellowship. Wear T2. Fellowship. No. Amen. Amen. You hear those things. You hear it. But don't allow it to get to you. Come and hear me. Glory to God. I know of a sister in church one time. Because of coming to church, the mother asked her to kneel down. Okay, this is somewhere, I don't know what it's called. I don't know how big it is. In the middle of block for coming to church. I know of a brother, Brother Emmanuel. The father used Koboko to flog him. Flog him and locked him inside the room. Lami locked the house. Say he's not leaving. The guy went to kitchen. He was sliding door. The father forgot he was sliding door. He slid the door, jumped out and came to church. How did you come? He said, he went through window. I was afraid for him because I know Koboku. I said, you know what? We'll be done on time. Tell me, Pastor, don't worry. Is it not Koboku? You'll flog us. We'll be fine. I said, I was not preaching. He wanted to say, I said, boy, man, I'll be running home. Be running out. Go and jump back to the kitchen. Those are people. But later on, even the brother too, he allowed it to get to him. Hallelujah. I met him one time before he left the country. And I told him, but why did you, after all the koboko you have received, why did you then budge? He then budged. I don't think there's anybody that would have been flogged koboko like that guy. Sometimes Jeremiah will come and meet me. They are flogging for a man at home. And the guy will still come to church. With marks in his body. Those are things that made me tell myself I will preach this gospel. Go and I see it in the lives of people. And he will still come to hear the word. And how did it get to us? The first time he came to our meeting, I was preaching about the name of Jesus. That's the brother. And I was saying, you can do things in the name of Jesus. You can command things to happen in the name of Jesus. The guy now shouted, like what is now the guy now said, show us example. Who went inside my house? I told them, no, we won't do this example inside. We'll do it outside. I took them out. And I told him to stretch his hands. He stretched his hand. I said, in the name of Jesus, that hand is stiff. And I told him, put down your hands. That's how his hand was like this. Put it down. He was struggling. His hand was He was stronger and he was sweating. I told some other brother to come and drag the hand down. The hand was stiff, really. The guy was now crying. And I told him, you are free in Jesus' name. And the hand fell down like that. From that day, the guy followed us in church as though he had seen God. I'm telling you, the way when he sees me on the road, then he would kneel and say, Pastor, sir. He followed us. For about 2 years, non-stop. And those 2 years was persecution. 2 years of, and I asked him before he traveled. I said, why did you budge? Why? He later gave in. Gave in and started wearing white garments without slippers. How did you bond? I've not seen anybody that was flogged that way. You know, when they flog your body, the mark will be swollen. Koboko. Koboko is not Kenu. Kobo. Because of him, I said I was never going to allow myself to stop preaching. We were having persecutions, but I stayed because of him. There are people like that as a pastor that encourages your heart when you see how tough their faith is. But he later budged. I am saying this to you today, that you too don't become like Brother Emmanuel. Not this boy Emmanuel here, but Brother Emmanuel. Don't become like him. And you allow the words of people stand against your local church. I'm not saying you should fight. Don't fight. But you know, it's part of it. Today, if you could just pull through to the end. Today, your dad is a supporter of you in the work of ministry. Mine too is. So also some other people that are here. Amen. But at the initial stage, it wasn't like that. So why will you budge? Why will you? will you allow it? We begin to close. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the year 2026, I will obey God. I will obey God. I will obey God. And His name over my life. I will obey God. And God's name over my life. In 2026, I will obey God. I will obey God. And the local church. I will obey God. Words of discouragement. Words of jealousy. Words of envy. I will not listen. My ears will be deafened to words of discouragement. My ears will be closed to words of envy. Hallelujah. I will not hear them. I will not hear them. Hallelujah. God will expose words from the place of envy to my heart. I will not listen to words of envy. I will not listen to words of jealousy. I'm deaf to them. I'm deaf to them. I'm deaf to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't allow any man despise you. Despise your work for God. Don't. Don't allow anyone make a caricature of your work for God. That you now start feeling bad. Now start feeling bad. No, I will serve God. Hallelujah. I'll put my eyes on the work. I'll put my eyes on God's work. I'll put my eyes on God's mission field, God's man. I'll put my eyes on the word. I'll put my eyes on God's instructions over my life. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Amen. I won't turn back. I won't become Lot's wife. You know, I was sharing with your pastors earlier on this morning. I mean, just before we came here, I said, Lot's wife has become a function. I won't become Lot's wife that will look back. I won't. I won't. In Luke 9, verses 1 to 62. Jesus said, he that puts his hands on the plow and looks back, he is not fit for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That means I can become unfit. Some people say, salvation is eternal. Yeah, but you can become unfit for God's work. Okay, hear me. You can become unfit for God's work. Jesus said, if these ones will not worship me, I will raise up stones in their place. A man can become unfit for God's work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, Paul said, it is so fight I, not as one that beated the air. Right? Look at 1 Corinthians 9. It says, but I keep my body, okay, I'll read 26, okay. But I keep my body under subjection. I'm putting under subjection, least by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. That means, the word cast away there is to be unfit. Unfit. And the background is Lot's wife. When you turn back, you become unfit. When you take your eyes off the plow, you become unfit. I will never look back. I will never look back. Nothing in this world is going to entice me. Nothing. No words of men will entice me, Lord. Nothing in this world will entice me, Lord. I will never look back. Can you turn that to a prayer? Say, Lord, I will never look back. Lord, I will never look back. Lord, let nothing entice me. Pray! In 2026 and beyond. Pray! Say, Lord, I keep my appetite in check. I keep my appetite in check. I keep my appetite in check. That I won't be cast away from the reward. From my price. Lord, help me to keep my eyes on the work. Help me to keep my eyes on instructions. Help me to keep my eyes on instructions. Oh, help me to keep my eyes on instructions. Amen. Amen. I'll close with this word. See, it will not be easy. I won't tell you that. It will be tough. You are in a world like this. Come and tell you, it will be easy. It will be tough. It will be tough. When the world is going one way, and you are standing on God's instruction. In a world where disobedience, a world where disobedience is the order of the day. When being inconsistent in is the order of the day, and you are saying you want to be consistent. You're not going to be you are not going to be a fair weather guy. You're not going to be a man for anything. You are just there. You are the one to stand consistent. It's not going to be easy. Because you see other people do other things. You see other people get to do other things that you want to be like them. So it's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But you know one thing. Yeah? You know what I want to tell you? It's going to be tough, but you, Saint Pavilion Church member, you, if it is tough, you'll be tougher. Come here, hear me. Toughen your skin, deafen your ears to the praises of men, deafen your ears to the words of men. The enticing words of men. Deafen your ears to it. Toughen your skin to stay in the walk. To stay with instructions. Toughen your skin. Now stay with instructions. Like I said, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. You be tougher. Let's go on our feet as we pray. Let's go on our feet as we pray. Thank you.